we encourage you, if you can come, today for the axe throwing, sign up over there so that we know about it. Amen. And we're just believing God for good things for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, this morning, why don't you stand up on your feet? And we're going to do something a little different today. I told you this month, you know, since it was Mother's Day this month, I wanted to change things up a little bit. And it's worked out really good for me personally, but physically speaking. We've been asking different ladies in the church to speak. And this Sunday, Pastor Donna is going to share with us. She hasn't shared in a while. So, amen, amen. But, you know, hold on. Before you clap, let's give thanks to Jesus, but let's give thanks, too, for our children's pastor, Donna Farmer. Amen. Give her a big hand.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. You guys can sit down. Not exactly sure what I need to do about that. So I'm just going to let them do what they're doing. All right. Well, praise God. I don't know, like every time I don't know. I don't have that power normally with my voice, so that's kind of a neat thing, a little Darth Vader situation, you know, the force is with us. So anyway, so that's cool. I think we're good now. We're good. All right. All right, so how many of you guys were a little flustered, if you will, in 2020 with everything closing down? Anybody out there? Anybody love being home? Did anybody just love, like, staying home and being stuck there? It was nice for the first day, and then I was like, okay, I need to, like, get outside of my house. So we spent a lot of time in the yard. But 2020 was kind of weird. I kind of thought, you know, by Easter, how many of you guys thought by Easter, like in 2020, everything was going to be back to normal. Everything was going to open. Things were going to be perfect. And then something happened that really kind of took me for a loop. Disney World closed. Now, I don't know if any of you guys know, but the Disney parks do not close. Like, hurricanes can come through Florida. And there have only been two times that Disneyland has ever closed, and 7 times that Walt Disney World has ever closed. The 2 times, I looked this up because I was like, this is interesting. So the 2 times that they closed Disneyland in California was John F. Kennedy's assassination, pretty big deal, and 9/11. The only times that they have closed Walt Disney World was for 5 different or 6 different hurricanes, and they were closed for like a day, maybe 2 days, and then one day for 9/11. So there are not times that they just close the park because it's an off season. There is no off season. So when they said they were closing the Disney parks, I was like, whoa, this is getting real, you know? Like, it was like a big deal. And so this was mid-March, and they said, okay, it's okay. We're going to close all of our parks. We're going to dock all of our cruise ships. Everything's going to close, but we're going to open back up at the end of March. Yes, the laughter happens, right? Because the end of March happened, and did the parks open? No. They said they were closed, get this, indefinitely. Now, that's like a scary word to me. I was like, indefinitely. So, like, I'm like Googling, like, what does indefinitely mean? Like, what is that? That sounds scary. It sounds awful. It sounds, you know, and so it's just like, okay, it just means they don't have an end date in sight. Okay, this is not as scary as it sounds, but still, the parks are closed. They were closed for months. Walt Disney World did not open again until July, and then Disneyland, because they just couldn't get it together. They didn't open until April of the next year. So it had been months that the parks had sat closed where they had never closed that long before. And so when they opened the parks back up in July of 2020, they said, you know what? The parks are going to look a little different. This is the new normal. How many of you guys, when they opened up things again and they had the new normal, you were like, this is so weird, like the social distancing, and there were the stickers on the floor, and you have to stay 6 feet apart, and all of that. And so when they opened up the parks, everything was a little different. They told you where to stand, you were wearing face masks, you could only get so close to everybody. You know, if you got too close, people would start stepping backwards, you know, so it was different. With Mickey Mouse, you could not see him. But he would come by on a float, and they called it a cavalcade. Has anybody ever heard of a cavalcade before? I was like, what is, I had to look up how to spell cavalcade, because I was like, that is not in my vocabulary. So they had these cavalcades, so you could see Mickey coming by, and from a distance, safely, you could wave, and if you were lucky enough, the mouse would look in your direction, and you were like, okay, everything is right with the world. If he was looking off on the other side, hang around, another cavalcade will come through, you know, kind of thing. So this was the new normal, so to speak. Then they came out with this new idea. Okay, you know what? Like, it's not as scary as we thought it was. Everything is fine. You can come this far. So Mickey had, and all the characters had a rope. And you could stand with your mask on against the rope, and you could get a selfie, because nobody was going to hold your phone. That was scary. And so you could take a selfie with the mouse, but he was further back, and there was a line. There was a rope. You could only go so far to be in his presence. Then at March this year, they did a video. And I still remember the day that they posted the video, because there were tornadoes coming through and church got canceled that night. And there are tornado sirens going through. And I start shouting in the kitchen, and the kids are like, is there a tornado? Like, is there what is going on? And I was like, no, 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 you have to watch the video. And all the kids were like, Mom is crazy. So here is the video that caused me to be yelling during the middle of the tornado warnings. So here he is, Mickey Mouse himself. And, oh my goodness, I don't have their clicker. All right, so anyway, so there is the rope that's keeping you away from Mickey. You can only come so close. There were some kids that came through, and they got too close to the mouse. So with the video you see here, it's going to show again here in just a second. So in the video, you see where that rope was. We're going to get it together. We're going to get it together. Wrong back button. So you can see where the rope is that's keeping you from the mouse. They are lowering the rope, and he is saying, come on in. Hugs are coming back. So here I am screaming in the house, and I'm like, hot dog, hugs are coming back, right? This is amazing. Now, what this reminded me of, if you will, it reminded me of when Jesus died on the cross. And that veil that had once before limited how close you could get to the Father God. There were only certain people that could come within that veil. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was ripped in two. There was no longer that rope that was separating. Y'all thought that it was like, okay, where are we going with Mickey? You see where I'm going now. Okay, all right. I see the light. I looks. All right. There was no longer that rope. That rope was lowered. And those people were like, oh my goodness, we can go into his presence. There is now nothing that will separate us. And I love what the Apostle Paul says in Romans. In Romans, he talks here, and he's talking about nothing can separate us. In Romans 8, 31 through 39, it says, what shall we say about this? Let me get over to the side where I can see. All right. Here we go. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Everything else. He continues on and he says, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger, are threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing, this is where it gets good. Are you guys ready for the good part? And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. What I love about this is written by the Apostle Paul. Y'all know Paul's story? You know his backstory? You can find him on Facebook and you could Google and you could see his past search history, right? He was the one that was persecuting the early church. And here he is, and he's saying that even if you're persecuted, nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. Did he have a story? Did he know about being separated from the presence of God? Because he was the one who was like, no, 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 this is not. He was trying to stop the early church. And here he is, and he's saying nothing can separate you. There is no line, there is no rope, there is no veil, there is nothing at all from your past, there is no worries about your future, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God because of who you are in him. The veil has been torn. The question is, how close do you want to be to God? That's what the real question is. Because now we've established the fact that there is no veil, there is no line, there is no rope, there is no boundary, there is no limit to you experiencing the love of God, the presence of God. The only thing is, what are you thirsty for? That's what it comes down to. What are you thirsty for? What is it that's keeping you from the love of God? First, you have to realize that you are thirsty. Right? My mama, she always said, if you realize you're thirsty, that means you should have drunk something an hour ago, right? If you're thirsty, it means that your body is now like needing something to drink. So we're going to look a little bit back into the Old Testament because we're going to be looking a little backwards. So when we have, last week I listened to Miss Melissa's message, which was so good, where she was talking about your ATM faith. And first you have to realize that something is in the bank, right, to be able to get something out. Well, what's on the inside of you? What do you have stored up on the inside of you that you can use, that you can drink from, that you can rely on? So if we look in the Old Testament in the life of Eli, everybody knows Eli, good friends with Eli, right? And so if we look in the past in the life of Eli, Eli was the chief priest, right? And so he had some sons, and his sons did not make really great choices in life. And so God brought along a young lady named Hannah. And Hannah dedicated her son Samuel to be able to live at the temple, to learn from Eli, and to eventually for God to use him, right? We remember the story of how God was speaking to Samuel in the middle of the night. And Samuel didn't know God yet, but he heard his voice, and he responded. He thought it was Eli at first. So, of course, he goes in. How many of you mamas or daddies have ever gotten a call in the middle of the night from your kids? I can't sleep, I'm not feeling well, you know, and you're just kind of like trying to get it together, trying to, okay, what's going on? What do we need to do? And so Eli, in the middle of the night, he says, it wasn't me that called you, go back to bed, you know. A couple times this happens, and finally Eli comes to himself, and he's like, well, it's God that's calling you. So if he calls again, then respond and say, and if we look in the story of 1 Samuel, when he looks at him, he says, tell him, it is your servant. It is I. I'm listening. And so when Samuel does this, does Samuel know who God is at this point? No. He didn't know him. He didn't recognize his voice. But when Samuel or when Eli tells him, respond and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's exactly what Samuel does. And he gets a message from God. Is it a great message? Is it an encouraging message that's going to, you know, bring help and comfort to all the world? No. It's against Eli and Eli's family, right? And so basically he says, like, God's telling him, tell Eli, like, his fate, like, things are coming to an end. Like, the things that he's allowed his sons to do, his sons were still acting as priests, but they were taking advantage of their positions. They were making bad choices. Eli was favoring his sons over what God said. And because of that, God said, you know what? It's going to come to an end for Eli and his family. Samuel, you're the next one that's going to, are you listening? Are you my servant? Are you ready for the challenge? And so how many of you guys know that if you were living and working with this great man of God, this chief priest, you're not going to want to be able to get up the next morning and say, hey, listen, God told me all your secrets, and things aren't going to go well for you, and I'm going to take your job. You know, like this isn't the thing that you necessarily want to have to tell the person that you're learning from, the person who's been taking care of you, the person that you've been spending time with. I mean, he had such a close relationship. He goes to him in the middle of the night, were you calling for me, right? And so here he is, and he has this tough situation. And the next morning when he gets up, Eli goes to him and he says, listen, tell me what it is that the father says. Do not hide it from me. The next morning, Eli asked Samuel what God said. He says, do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Eli is saying, just tell me. Yeah, cut to the chase. Tell me exactly what it is that God has for me. Tell it, what is it, the word of God that he said? And so Samuel says exactly what God said to him. And Eli heard every single word, every single promise that God was making, albeit that it wasn't a great promise, right? What was going to be happening for him? It says after that, it says the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Samuel wasn't perfect, but he was God's servant. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening, right? And so are we listening to the voice of God? Are we listening to what God has for us? Eli's sons were thirsty, but they were filling themselves with the wrong thing, weren't they? They were allowing themselves to fill themselves with things that made them happy, things that brought them joy for the moment, that brought them contentment. And Eli just turned and he looked away. He knew it was happening, but he didn't say anything to his son. So what are you drinking? In Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed is another word for happy. Does anybody want to be happy? Amen. Does anybody wake up and say, I just want to have an awful day? I just want to be miserable. I want to be grumpy, right? No, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have a good day, right? That's our goal, is to be happy. So it says, happy or blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Many times people are looking for quick fixes for their happiness, right? The question is, everyone is thirsty for something, right? Everyone is, but what are you filling yourself with? What are you choosing to drink? What are you choosing to allow to fill that spot that you have? Have you ever had where you've eaten this delicious meal and you think, I just don't think I could eat another bite. I just don't think I could eat any more. And somehow the next evening, if you're my kids, it's like an hour after dinner. They're like, I'm all full. And then an hour after dinner, you hear them rummaging in the pantry. And I'm like, I just fixed you a whole meal. You know, like, what are you doing in the pantry? And so the next hour, if you're a teenager, or the next evening, or later that evening, or the next morning, are you going to be hungry again? If you're a normal person and not a robot, yes, you will be hungry again, right? At some point, whatever you put in, even though it was good, even though it was delicious, even though it was more than enough at that moment, eventually you're going to be hungry again. You're going to be thirsty again. You're going to need something else to fill that spot that's empty, right? So what are you going to fill it with? There was a time when we were running a race in Virginia Beach, and it was very hot that day. And they had these big, huge trash cans. What do you put in a trash can?
Trash.
Not in a race course. In a race course, they put this big, this is the inside world of running. It's a dirty world. It's I don't know why we do it. And so they have like this trash can liner, and it is filled with water. So they are filling up their cups, like with the little image before where it had the whole tray of cups. that are sitting out just delicious looking. Like you're just like, I just want to grab a cup and just, yeah, like you have all of those. Guess where that came from?
A trash can.
They just dip the pitcher in there. And so me and Pastor Matthew, we don't like to litter. A lot of people will just like throw their cups on the ground and they collect everywhere. We like to find a trash can to throw them in, you know, because it just makes us feel better that we're not littering everywhere. And so we're running by and like good citizens, thank you very much, like we're throwing our cups in the trash can. But it wasn't a trash can. It was a water receptacle, right? And it makes it sound better than, you know, a trash can filled with water. And so I'm waiting. Pastor Matthew needed to go to the little runner's room. And so I'm waiting for him to get done, and I realize we both just threw our cups in this big water receptacle trash can. And not only us, but a few other people did too. So you would think, oh, they're just going to take that out and not use that. No, they had this big scooper. And so they scoop out all of those cups, and then they just use their pitchers, and they just keep on filling the water cups, right? And so that was pretty disgusting. But, you know, when you're thirsty, you'll drink out of that. Like, if you're thirsty enough, you'll just, you know, lap it up just like a little puppy, right? And so later on in that race, I had dreams of that trash can full of water. I was so thirsty. We were running, like, we were finishing the last mile. And there was the ocean on the side, and that just makes you thirsty, right? You're looking at, like, the big body of water, and all you can think of is, I'm so thirsty, I think I'm dying of thirst here. And so all I'm thinking of is that big trash can of water. And if I was by that big trash can of water, I would just put my whole head in the trash can and just drink it up, right? If you're that thirsty, the mirage, right, that you're imagining the trash can, and you're running to the trash can of water. And so all you can think of is, I am so thirsty. Do any of you enjoy drinking out of a water fountain? I don't. I don't allow my kids to drink out of them. I call them a germ fountain because that's basically what they are, you know. And so, but I'll tell you, there was a germ fountain on that race course against near the thing. And I was like, I'm going right here. And so I was there, and it only came out this much, you know. And so I like basically am just like licking the side. I was that thirsty. What are you thirsty for? What are you thirsty for? Are you that thirsty that you just have to have something at that second, or you feel like you're going to just die of thirst, right? Like you're just going to run out. What are you thirsty for? So I brought some beverage options. How many of you guys are thirsty now that we've talked about it, right? So we have some beverage options. All right, so our first one that we have here, we have a soda. Anybody like soda? Yeah, we got a little soda drinkers. All right, so if we have soda up here, is it going to taste good? If you like soda, will it taste good? Yeah, if you don't like soda, probably not. But if you drink soda, it's going to taste good. It's going to taste good to you. Is it going to quench your thirst? Probably not. It's going to taste good. It might give you a little caffeine, which is nice, right? It'll taste good, but it's not going to quench your thirst. So if we keep on moving, how many of you guys like coffee? Any coffee drinkers in here? All right, so is it going to give you caffeine? Yeah. Is it going to make you feel good? Possibly, if you like it, right? Yeah, you might be buzzing. How many of you get thirsty after you drink coffee? I do. Usually I have a bottle of water after I drink it because for some reason it makes me thirsty. So is it going to quench your thirst? No. All right, so now we're going to bring out Jared's choice, a Red Bull, right? This is your drink, right? This is your jam. Never have I ever drunk one. I'm a little scared. But, all right, so what happens if you drink a Red Bull? Red Bull gives you wings, right? We all know. That's what I'm scared of. Like, I don't want to fly away. All right, so is it going to give you instant caffeine? Yeah, you're going to be feeling pretty good, right? Jared might actually talk after he drinks one. I don't know. So we have this as an option, right? Of course, the best thing to drink is
water,
right? Is that going to hydrate you?
Yes.
Yes. Is it going to fill you with the good things?
Yes.
And finally, we have, and this is one of Pastor Matthew's, which I have not tried this one yet, but I enjoy just the normal, Gatorade, right? So what does Gatorade do? It replaces, listen to that. It replaces your electric lights. And it actually says on here, your thirst quencher. It says it on the label, so it has to be true, right? So we have different options here. If we look at the soda, I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, the soda, what do you fill yourself with? How do you get your joy? How do you get your happiness? How do you get your contentment? Some people need something to fill that hole, something to fill that thirst inside of them. And so maybe they'll go to friends, or maybe they'll go to social media, and they'll fill themselves with that, right? Those happy feelings, the good things, right? Are they bad? No. In moderation, it's good to have a soda every now and then, right? Like, you can enjoy it. It's not going to kill you, right? It's not going to make you healthy, but it's not going to hurt you, right? If we go to the coffee, when I'm running, I enjoy to hear upbeat music, right? I don't listen, shock, I'm sorry. I do not listen to praise music while I'm running because I would go to sleep probably, right? So what am I listening to? Upbeat music, right? That's going to get me going, right? Things that are going to be get your heartbeat race. You're going to want to run. It's going to get you in your happy place. It's going to get you in your jam. You're going to have a good pace with it, right? So you're not just sitting there like watching the water roll in, right? And so that could be your happy music or whatever it is that gets you excited, that gets you going. The Red Bull could be your next adventure, right? All right, so I have so many days until my next trip, and then I'm going to be happy. I have my countdown going for my next vacation or the next big thing that's happening. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's where I'm going. But see, the thing is that these things aren't bad in general, but they're not quenching your thirst. They're not satisfying that deep need on the inside of you. It's almost like a Band-Aid, right? You're gonna feel really good after the Red Bull, but I have a feeling like the crash might not feel so great. I don't know. But there's going to be a time when you're thirsty again. Yeah. It wasn't there to quench the thirst. It was just to satisfy that need for right now. But when you drink the water, you're drinking what your body was designed to receive, to quench that. After we run, sometimes if I've been kind of sweaty, I need the electrolytes to be able to give my body back what it lost when I was running. The electrolytes, I think of it as the Holy Spirit, where you just need to soak in His presence. You need to drink and allow Him to fill those things that were empty, those things that other people might have taken away, or you just need to be able to soak up who you are in Him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled. When we look at Jesus with the woman at the well, He was there and He was talking to her, and He says, you know, will you draw me up some water? And at first she's surprised that He's even talking to her, right? Because here she is, a Samaritan, and He's Jesus. And so she looks at Him, and she's wondering, why are you even talking to me? And she wonders, well, you don't have anything for me to draw water up into. And so He talks to her, and He says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Amen. I love how she responds. She says, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. I love that. She's like, I want this. This is what I want. I don't want to have to continue to come here and get the water, right? I want this living water living on the inside of me. And Jesus says, I am that living water. That is who I am. So she gets so excited, and he says, go tell your husband. And she's kind of upset a little bit. She's like, well, the man that I live with isn't my husband. Is that a shock to Jesus? Does he go, oh, I take it all back. This water is not for you. No. He says, I know. I know he's not your husband. This does not surprise me, right? I know your past. But it's still for you. And don't you think that meant more to her than if he wouldn't have known her past? He knew her past. Like what the Apostle Paul said earlier, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing was going to separate this woman from being in the presence of Jesus. Not her past, not her past marriages, not the fact that she was living with a man that wasn't even her husband. Nothing was going to separate her from the living water that Jesus had. So she goes and she starts telling everybody about Jesus, right? She says, he knew everything about me, even though he had never met me before. And everybody is coming and they're begging Jesus, stay with us. Stay with us. Teach us. And so he stays with them for 2 days and he's teaching them. And then it changes. No longer is it, we know this man Jesus because of what the woman at the well said. It's no longer that. Then they had this personal relationship with Jesus where it says here, it says that many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She said, he told me everything that I ever did. But then it changes and it gets to the point that they believed because they heard Jesus speak. Yeah, it was no longer just, well, we've heard this from this lady. That's amazing. No, now they've sat at his feet. They've drunk in what he had. They've drunk from the living water of his words. And their life has changed because of that. What are you thirsty for? What are you allowing to fill your life? None of these things, I mean, these things aren't bad in moderation, but they're not really going to quench the thirst that you have. God knows. I loved how Jesus was talking and he was using words that we understand. We all know what it is to be thirsty. We all know what it is to be hungry or in some cases hangry, where you're like, I just want some food, right? He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the good things, for the things that will really quench them, that will fill them with the true life, the true water, to really quench their thirst, for they shall be filled, is what he says. I loved in Psalms 42:1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. I love that. And it reminded me of the verse or song, I think it was from the 90s, where it talks and it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire. Don't you love that? Where you're sitting there and you're like, I long for you. My soul longs for you. And I long to worship thee. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Do you get to that point? How many of you know what it is to feel physically thirsty? How many of you know what it's like to be spiritually thirsty, where you just know you need something? You know that you have family that loves you, but that's not enough, right? You know that there's just something inside of you that you just know, like, I just need something. You need to connect with the Father God. The good news is that that line is no longer there. There's been times in my life where I felt so close to God that I could almost feel him breathe, right? But then there's been other times where I felt like I was so far away from him that I wonder if he can even see me waving. Did God change? No. I did. You're as close to God as you want to be. What are you drinking? What are you choosing to fill your life with? So a little while ago, I had told Eric for his birthday I was going to take him to Disney World, and it was going to be his trip. He would get to choose everything. We rode Millennium Falcon so many times that I started to feel not great, right? We rode Test Track a gazillion times. We rode Buzz Lightyear. I was like, whatever you want to ride, we're going to ride. As many times as you want to, it's your day. But that was right before they showed the gate coming down for Mickey. And I was like, okay, we will do whatever you want, but I'm telling you, I need to see the mouse. Like, I just need to go see him. I just need to go see the mouse. And so he was like, okay. So we found a place where it's only like a 5-minute wait to see him. And I talked to him and I'm like, okay, buddy, do you want to go hug Mickey first? And he's like, Mom. And I was like, okay, all right, well, do you want to? And so I'm trying to be good and not be like, okay, listen, I'm hugging him, you know. And so I was like, okay, so if you don't want to go hug him, here's my phone, and just do what you will. And so I thought, okay, I am a grown woman. I understand this. Like, I understand there's no little kids in here. Like, I understand there's somebody in the suit. Like, I understand. However, it had been over 2 years since that rope was no longer separating me from the mouse, right? And so I had a choice. Do you go in? Do you enter in? So here is my first time hugging Mickey after 2 years. I'm wearing Chewbacca ears. I'm a hot mess, and here he is, and it was absolutely amazing. And in the end, you can actually hear Eric, and he says, "Mom, are you crying?" And I was like, "Yes, I'm crying. What is wrong with you?" Right? Now, if you see on the floor, you see where it looks like a wooden stage type area. There is a space, and that's as far as Mickey can go. He's not going to go over on the carpet. He's going to stay right there. So if you want to see him, if you want to give him a hug, you have to come into his area. God has an area where you can come into. You are free to come in. You are free to enter into his presence. You are free to sit at his feet and soak in everything he is. But it's up to you to enter in that area. Just like for Mickey, like some kids are afraid, right? And there's this big, huge creature, right? I don't know if I want to go in. He's not going to come chasing that kid down, right? That kid has to come into his area for him to be able to greet him and take him in. As soon as you hit that wooden floor, the arms go open. And he says, "I'm here. Do you want a hug? Do you want to stay far away?" Could I have gone in and I could have still kept my distance, kept my 6 feet? I could have, but I didn't want to. Are you going in to the presence of God? There is a space that he has. You're free to go in. There's no veil. There is no rope. There is nothing keeping you from the presence of God. The only thing that's keeping you is yourself. Are you going in? Are you going into his presence? What are you thirsty for? God wants you to be as close to him as you want to be. He doesn't want you thirsty. He doesn't want you hungry. He doesn't want you going around dreaming about trash can water. He wants you drinking from his water, drinking from his well that will never run dry. There will always be more than enough. So those of us that are here today, there may be something that is keeping you from being able to go into his presence if you've never asked Jesus in your heart before. The veil is down, the rope is gone, but have you asked Jesus in your heart? If you have, there's nothing separating you from the love of God. But maybe today you're thinking, you know what, I've allowed, everybody close your eyes and bow your heads. You're thinking, you know what, I've allowed other things to fill that need in my life. Maybe work, maybe friends. Maybe things that would make me happy, but I know I haven't been sitting at the feet of God. I know instead of me going after God and sitting at his feet and soaking in his presence, I've allowed other things to fill that need in my life, and I don't want that anymore. I realize that I'm thirsty. I realize that I'm hungry, and the only thing that will fill that is my Father God. If that's you today, know that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The same God that was standing there when the veil was torn is the same God that's still there now. Just like Jesus did not have any condemnation for the woman at the well, he knew her past. He knew what she was doing, what she had done. He said, "Drink from my well. Drink from my water. It's yours." Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Where you are right now, make today your day where you say nothing will separate. Everybody say, nothing will separate me from the love of God. Pray. praise, God. God, I just thank you right now, God. God, I thank you for every single person here. God, I thank you that you're a good God, a God who loves us, a God who knows us intimately and loves us anyway. God, I thank you we don't surprise you. But God, you're there with open arms. Our loving Heavenly Father who says, please come. Please come, sit with me. Take in my presence. Allow me to fill you overflowing. To fill you with the truth. To fill you with my peace. To fill you with my comfort. Allow me to fill you with my goodness, with my presence. So when you leave, you aren't thirsty. You're not hungry. You are full of me. Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you and thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your name we pray. Amen. And the good news is when you are filled and you are full of God, then you can pour it out on others too, right? No longer are you needing all the water, but you're like, you know what? I'm good. You can have some of mine. I have more than enough. Praise God. Praise Amen. God. Well, thank you so much for being able to share today.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Amen. Give Pastor Don a big hand. Hallelujah. That was a good word. Hallelujah. You know, I love the one about the woman at the well. Jesus didn't gasp. Aren't you thankful? You know, so many in the church will gasp at somebody else's sin. Or if they find out you're divorced. Or if they find out, you know, you did this or that. And we tend to categorize things. But God doesn't. Aren't you thankful? The blood was always more than enough. And you know, love should always abound in your heart towards everyone. No matter what you think about them. No matter what they believe as opposed to what you believe. Because if your love isn't palatable, then they did not receive. And we need to remember that in today's world because it's important. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Such a good message today. Amen. We need to be thirsty for Jesus and all that we do. I'll tell my age here. You remember, anybody remember Don Francisco? Boy, when he had that one record and that one song, Oh, If You're Thirsty. Come to the water. And that was such a powerful tune. And, you know, we need to always keep our heart right, but always remain thirsty for more of God in all that we do. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, next Sunday, we got. I'm going to share something at the first of the service. Pastor Matthew's going to preach too. We're going to have a smorgasbord of fun next Sunday. So make sure you're here. Bring somebody with you. If you have not signed up for tickets, sign up. We got 50 tickets. 50 has been paid for by somebody very gracious for you to go to this game. If you got friends that would like to go, family, you know, we have tickets, and we want to bless you. They're only $5, and that's cheap considering what these – we're right on third baseline, right down close to the field. Bring a glove. You might catch a ball. You got to pay attention when we're sitting. Amen. But sign up for this. It's always a big thing, and we love doing this. We love baseball, and